Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your presence, O Lord, and for the joy of fellowship. For the joy of your salvations, Lord, and the joy in your grace and mercy that thou hast granted us. To be called sons and daughters of the living God. All because, Father, you have given us a wonderful gift. You love your only begotten Son, and yet that you will even sacrifice him that we may have eternal life. And we are thankful, Father, for this, that with the seed that was planted, that you can have a family. A family that you can relate to and to fellowship with. And we are thankful to be sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for today. And we ask for your blessing now, Father, as you approach that word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, so there's a lot of verses to turn to, and I hope that I just do it for today and finish up with it. We are dealing with the mind of God and His election. Now, we were talking about that a couple of weeks ago, about the mind of God, and then we were talking about election, and just after that, we talked about just whole of last week, two brothers talking to me on Skype, one from Australia, one from Beirut, while he was there, from Nigeria, and a subject pops up on election, and so they were questioning about election. I want to touch on the mind of God in relation to election. So, to make us understand this doctrine, because I believe that many people do not understand this doctrine, because it is not much talk about. They simply just say, oh, we are predestined, we are elected, and this and that, and so forth, and we really don't know much about what it is. Okay, first of all, we want to have some definition. What is election? So, we want to say the word select. You heard the word select? Some people say, election, elect, it just, to elect is like select, or it's just to choose, a choice you made, you know. So, is it really true that they're just about the same? Yeah, it's practically true. It's about 99.9% the same. So if I go to the grocery shop and you see all the fruit, the fruiterer is selling all the fruits, and you wanted to buy some plums, and there is one whole lot of plums there, and so you want to buy six of them. So what do? You just don't any mini money more and pick it up. You select them. So what are you looking for when you select? You're looking at perhaps whether it is ripe or not, whether it is matured, whether it is smooth, if there is a hole in it, there's a worm in it, you won't want to select that. So that is selection, isn't it right? You have a choice to pick up of so many dozens up there in the box. So we said that selection. So what is elect then? So I said, go and get elect me some plum. That's kind of silly to ask you to elect some plum. Get me, elect me six plum. So nobody will talk like that. So when you talk about election, you are talking about beings. You are electing a president, a prime minister. When you elect, that is more than just select. I'm not selecting a man to be my prime minister. I'm electing him because there's something I'm looking at, not just selection. Of course, there are candidates that you can select, the worker party, the rooftop party, or the ground floor party, whatever party you want, you select them. Correct? So, but the word elect, it's more than just elect. Because elect, you need to know more than just what's on the outside. So when the Bible used the word election, alright, at other times the Bible used the word chosen. Elect, the chosen. God said, I chose you, I elect you. So there is something more than just selection on the outside. Okay, that's definitely for sure. Now the next one we want to look at is the word elect, as I say, it deals with the inside of man as well. But foreknowledge. For knowledge means that fore means before, knowledge is, well, you get it. So it means you know it before it happened. You know it before it actually comes into existence, that's for knowledge. Okay. Then we have the word predestinate. Predestination. What is predestination? It comes from the word pre, before, destination is there. Okay, destinate to a certain place, before. You are there, I have to pre. It means I've selected before you are in that place. So, predestination. Predestinate. Before and then put you later on in the place that I have so selected or so chosen. So predestination is an interesting word. So we want to look at all these subjects as to the mind of God. Alright, now, the point number one, I have a few points that I want to just look through it and some verses of scripture. Point number one, God knows all things. Everybody believe that? Yes, everybody believe that. And we discussed it, this point, one of the Friday, 3 weeks ago, I think. And God knows all things. How does God know all things? Because He's God. Yeah, I mean, everybody say that, right? He's God, so He knows all things. He knows all things. Yeah, from the beginning. So we read the scripture here. Turn to your Bible. 1 John 3:20. Now lots of scripture to read because these are points that you should remember. Perhaps you already know it, but we want to analyze it. The Bible says, study to show thyself proof unto God. A workman did not be ashamed. Amen. Right. You see, and God said, come, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Not possible. From the scarlet full of sin, redness, and all that, and how can our sin be as scarlet? That doesn't make sense. So now you have to reason with God. God said, come, let us reason together. Though you are sinful, I can make you white as snow. How is it possible? So you come to reason with God, and God show you in His scripture how it can be. By human being, it's not possible. You know, how can I go to heaven when I don't even do any good works? So I need to do good works. So people do good works to try to gain favor to go to heaven. But that's not God's way. That's not God's way. That's why God said, you come reason with me. Not according to your way, my way. That's one thing you always remember. People say, how can you reason with against Brother Branham? I'm not reasoning against Brother Branham. How can you judge Brother Branham's word? You should believe everything Brother Branham said. I'm not just simply believing everything Brother Branham said. I want to believe what God said through him, not what he said. So don't hear what I say. I want you to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. You understand what I'm saying? That is an important thing, because there is a spirit in man that we'll talk about later. You see, so when we reason with the Word of God, we are wanting to understand what God wants to show us. And I believe that's why the studying the Word of God is so important. Fellowshipping is so important. And to hear the Word of God is so important. You understand that? Alright. 1 John 3:20. It says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So the Bible said that God knows all things. Alright. Isaiah 46:10. You know, my brother said, well, Brother Ken, why don't you, on your video, you know, project the verse on the back, on the whole, you know? So it's easy for us to read without turning to the Bible. I said, that make you lazy. Okay, you know why? How can. You see, we need to turn to the Bible because you need to know the Bible. Not just read everything online and then you don't even want to open your Bible. And then the Bible becomes very pristine, you know, very nice and clean on your shelf. Alright, Isaiah 46:10, it said, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Declaring the end from the beginning. So God knows all things. Amen. Yeah, we know that God knows all things. But now I want to say this. How does God know all things? First of all, God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. Right? Okay? And because He's all powerful, so He must be able to know all things. So He's omniscient. Okay? Now because He's omnipotent, He's omniscient, all-knowing, then He is omnipresent. But God is not omnipresent. Mind you, if He is not omnipotent, not omniscient, He cannot be omnipresent. So the word omnipresent seems to be a bit tough, a misnomer to many people who doesn't understand. God is everywhere. What do you mean by God is everywhere? God is not everywhere present. And that's a fact. Because when you say God is everywhere present, that means God is inside this portal now that open up. He must be inside here. Correct? You say God is everywhere. You understand what I'm talking? God is a being. He is not air that fills every hose and every vacuum. You know what I'm talking about? God is a being. And what is his place? He has his place in heaven. But because he is all powerful, all knowing, he can see what's over on the other side of the world. And he could be there by his spirit, because he is God. He can make his presence known over the other side of the world, as he can make his presence known right here. Do you understand that? See? You know. So don't make God as if like he is a vapor, you know, air filling spaces. Okay, when we say look out into the earth, the earth belongs to the Lord, the fullness thereof. Yes, look on all this beautiful creation. God is everywhere. That I understand. You're saying looking at the creation and you see God everywhere. In the mountain, in the trees, in the flowers, in the bees, in the insects, and in the animal, right? I see gods in the animal. I see gods in the birds. I see gods in the sky. Because of the creation, it magnified God. That's if you are using that expression. Okay, so how then God knows everything now? You say he knows the end from the beginning, God knows everything. Let's take a thought for yet an example. Before God created the whole of this universe, as the Bible said, before the foundation of the world, I have chosen you, I know you. That's before the foundation of the world. But let's go back. Before there was ever anything, before there was ever a creation of angel. And now there is something that we sometimes I wonder. If you were to go by, if you look at this room, for example, this room, it's a space here, right? Huh? A space. People were sometimes when they like the warehouse, they rent a space, they measure the height, the length, the breadth, and how many cubits of space. Right? Correct. Now, the whole universe is a space. Before there was, the science says, studies said that the universe is expanding. The space is enlarging. But, before there was this universe, before there was this space, what was it? The concept, try to figure it out. Before there was this space in this room here, what was it? If the universe is expanding, so what was it before? Let's go back. Imploding like itself. Not expanding, not exploding. Now imploding, go back to the beginning, we're going backwards. So what was it? What is that thing? Is it something solid like a balloon? You take a balloon, you blow. You create the bigger the space inside, right? Isn't it? But before there was this space universe, what was it? Something solid? Fathom that, if you can. And I don't think you can. Right? Okay, forget about that one. Because we will never find an answer until we see the Lord. Maybe we ask him if he would tell us. But think for a moment that God wanted to create. So now, before there was ever angel, nothing. Before there was anything at all. Okay, before he even planned, before he even counseled with himself, is there anything in the future for him to see? I want you to remember this, because when we say God knows all things, don't take it for granted just by the word that we read without an understanding. Huh? The Bible said declaring the end from the beginning. So what is the beginning? If you can see the end, it means there must be a beginning. If there is no beginning, you can't see the end. Am I not right? So if God never think or thought, what is there to see? Nothing. That's not the first thing that came out in his mind, the thought, the word. Then the beginning was the word, and the word was begotten, and the word was God. Therefore, he said in Ephesians that he counseled with himself. When he counseled with himself, this is what you wanted to do, this is what you want to do. Then in the mind, the seed is being planted, you can look into the future. When this thing is becoming a reality, what happened in the future? Then he can see the end from the beginning. You understand? If God never even planted a seed, now you take a seed, a mango seed. If you take a mango seed, you plant it. Then every day, every week, every month, every year, you can see how the mango you know, the plant starts to grow, how it grows. Right? So imagine, further down the road, you start having all those fruits. But let's say that you have an ability to look 5 years ahead as you plant that mango. That means you can see, because you have something that you planted. But if you don't plant a mango seed, what is there for you to see? Right? You understand what I'm saying? No, no, there's nothing. So when we say God knows all things, you must understand that it is because of His plan, because of the word, the seed word that He planted. And that's what happened. That God showed that the whole thing started to bloom and start to show. So God knows all things because of His counseling, His planning, and everything that begin in the Logos. Okay? Now we come to the second point. Choice. Choice. We look at Adam. The day that God created Adam, he was a perfect man as far as, well, the being innocent. And being that he was the original seed, he cannot sin. He cannot fall because he's original. You understand that, don't you? You all know that to be true. So now if God is bringing Adam into existence, and knowing that man cannot fall, so Adam will be there, you know, and worshipping God in his innocency, just a little baby. Now, you know one thing about it. A baby, if you have a child, you have children, you know. When they are young, they are one thing. When they are teenager, there is another thing. Isn't it? Yeah, you see. So, in Adam's innocency, it's like a little child. Huh? So, they, when you worship God, Papa, I love you, Papa, I love you. You know how little kids come to you, Daddy, Daddy. Now you try to get a little teenager now, when they are teen, huh? Like little. So it's a big difference now. They don't come to Daddy, Daddy, I love you, like as they were a little kid. So, would God want a family of Adams like that? He wants a family who have a choice to make. Yes, I want to come to God, and whenever I want to come to Him and worship Him. So that's why God bringing in a choice. Now here's where it's a dilemma here. Huh. So now, how to get man to be tested? Because the original cannot say. That's why God made Adam, and then from his side He took Eve, a byproduct. So now between the original and the byproduct, we know that the byproduct will fall and can fall very easily. Is it? Alright, being our original creation, original seed versus the byproduct. And so we know the result. The fall came. Romans 3, verse 10. Romans 3, 10, 11, 12. So now because the fall came, the Bible said, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understand. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out the way. They all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, see? So we have got a lot of sinners that tell me, I'm a sinner. What? I'm a good man. You ever heard people say that? You tell me I need a savior. What are you talking about? I never steal, I never tell a lie. I mean, which is already a lie when he said that. You see, you know, people always think they're so righteous because the Bible says all are sinners, not righteous, because of the fall. Okay? So the choice that Eve made, well, you know, was not a good choice, and Adam had to do something to bring her back. And so, in that, every one of us are found to be non-righteous, unrighteous. So, well, we come to the third point. Point number three now, it comes to election. Election. But election has a purpose now. Now, it is often said, and I don't quite like it because I have been in the message for so long and ministering and hearing some believers say things that is really terrible. Many years ago, a brother said, "Don't worry about them, Brother Jim." They're talking about his children. If they are predestinated, they'll be saved. Oh, wow. You know, I was just thinking, how much time do you spend with your children as far as the gospel is concerned? The Bible said you raise up your child in the way that he should go. Is that right? It's funny when you're a Christian. When you're not a Christian, it's different. When you are adults and then you come to know Christ and your kid's already a teenager, there's nothing you can do because already you were not Christian to begin with. But if you are man and woman, husband and wife, a Christian, and you married and you get a child, you start to raise them up in the fear of God. He needed to know the gospel. That's why God told him, and be fruitful and multiply. Fruitful, not as many physical children, no, as to many spiritual children. So how can you think for spiritual children? Huh? God doesn't ask you to produce 1,000 kids, children in the world. That's not fruitful. When every one of them, 1,000 of them, 11 of them, doesn't even want to believe in Jesus Christ. Are you fruitful? No. Fruitful in a physical sense that you have 12 children. Unfruitful because you have only one, the trust in the Lord. So God is concerned with spiritual birth, not physical birth. Is that right? You see? That's what the Bible says. You're born of the Spirit, born of the Word of God. We're not born physically of flesh and blood. Huh? As far as God's children is concerned, it's not the physical, it is the spiritual. Born of the Spirit and born of His Word. You see? Okay. So, election. So when it comes to election, we don't take it for granted. He's elected. They will come to know God. Really that easy to say? It's because we take the Word for granted. And that's why the discussion of election with many people can come to a point of debate to say, how can it work? After all, if I'm elected, I'm not predestinated, then I'm bound for heaven. So why worry? You ever hear people say that? Huh? Yeah. Why worry? They will come to know the gospel. They will come to know Christ. Now that's where we have the human carnal perception of things. That's why I say many times, don't reason with God from your view. Reason with God from His view, His word, how He looks at it. Or else you get funny kind of different kind of what we call opinion. You know. You see? Alright, let's just look into it. Romans chapter 9:11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. So, election has a purpose. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of Him that called. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He said to Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that will, not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Not of him that said, I want to, not because of him that said, I'm doing what I should be doing. No, it is God that showing mercy. So you see, when we talk about election, there is a purpose in election. Not just because God elect you and put you to heaven. No. Look at it. The Bible here said, God said, Esau have I hate, Jacob have I loved. What is it that God hate Esau? What is it that God loved Jacob? Why? Wasn't there something about Jacob? Wasn't there something about Esau that God looked at it and God despised and disliked what Esau did? Well, isn't that right? There is a purpose in God when it comes to election. God did not say, when he looked at mankind from the beginning, he saw the millions and millions of people, and he just said, okay, I'm going to elect. Any, many, money more, pop, you go to heaven. Any, many, money more, pop, you go to hell. Or not necessarily go to hell, because everybody is unrighteous, so everybody go to hell. Huh? Isn't it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, okay, God said, let me just speak for those who want to go to heaven. Any, many, money more, oops, go to heaven. Pop, you go to heaven. No, he's not doing this. Because when he elect, there is a purpose to his election. Do you understand that? And that election for a purpose will stand. It must be fulfilled. See? So what did God elect you for? To heaven? There's somebody say, I'm predestined to heaven. That's not what God's purpose is all about. Let us continue. 2 Peter 1:10. Peter 1:10. Wherefore, brethren, that means therefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You see what election is about now? I'm saying that, as I said, there is a purpose. Okay? Election. And now the Bible is telling you that give diligence to your calling and your election. So, are you elected? You say, yeah, man. Are you elected? How many of you are elected? Come on. If you're elected, so what the Bible tells you? Give diligence to make your election, your calling sure. Not chin chai bo chai, huh? You know what I'm saying? You know, the attitude of, it's okay, I'm going to heaven anyway, you know. Hey, there's something wrong with that kind of thinking to begin with. You take it for granted, that is to say. No. My salvation, I don't take it for granted. My relationship with God, I don't take it for granted. I'm diligent in my relationship with God. You know what I'm talking about? You see? So make your call and election sure, for if you do this thing, you shall never fall. Let's just go to the example of a parable in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 10. Here we have the king's son's wedding that Jesus related in the parable. So those, Matthew 22 verse 10. So those servants went out into the highway and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. See, bad and good, huh? They're not just looking for the good. So it's now in God's election, it's nothing about the good or the bad. Okay, it's both bad and good, and God has a purpose of how you deal with it. Okay? You understand that? So this is the king's son's wedding. A father's son's wedding. Sons is Christ. Okay? A king's is the father. So sent out the servant, go and gather all those, because those are invited, do not want to come. That's talking about all these religious guys. But now the servant went up there and said, look for the good and the bad, so bring them in. So they came. And the wedding was finished with guests. Verse 11. And when they came in to see the guests, he saw that a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto his friend, how come thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and throw him away, and cast him up into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. So now, when the king went, sent a servant out to get all those people on the roadside, the highway, byway, the beggar, the good, the rich, and all whatever, to come in. So the king came and the wedding was already finished. The guest was there and everybody having a good time. He looked around, walking around to see everybody, all the guests, you know, and he found one man without a wedding garment. So how did you get in here without a wedding garment? How did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he called the servant and told him out, what is the significance of the wedding garment? The man did not come in by being chosen from the highway or the byway. He sneaked in. Because everyone that comes into the wedding as a guest, they will be provided a wedding garment as a guest. Do you understand? When you are invited into the wedding supper now that you are eating, are we having a wedding supper here? We are. Do you put on a wedding garment? You have. If you come in without a wedding garment, it means your attitude is not right because you don't approach God right in the first place because you're born again. You have no place in the wedding. So he said it's important that we must be clothed with the Word of God. And the wedding garment that we are putting on is the Word of God. It's the robe of righteousness, the robe of salvation. Not the robe of righteousness, that comes later. The robe of salvation, the Word of God that died for us. And we need to have that garment on. So how important it is. Some people say, well, I'm going to heaven anyway. I don't have to go to church every Sunday. I can go once in a while if I like it. When I'm sick or I'm not, then I'll go to church and get prayed for. When I'm in trouble, then I will go to church. When everything is fine, what's the use of going to church? I'm just singing worship and all that. I don't have to, because I'm going to heaven. And yet a lot of people go to church with a bad attitude. Huh? And I always say this, when you come to church, you dress proper. I always believe that. God don't expect you to dress like a millionaire. But at least try to look like a millionaire when you don't have a $1 million shirt on. Now don't look at me with this shirt because I'm a millionaire. This shirt is given to me by my daughter, by my birthday. This is the second time I wear it. Because if I don't wear it, I find out they're hanging out there in my wardrobe. It starts to get fungus, you know, you get all those spots. You know. But I want you to say that when you come to church, dress something nice. Dress something proper. Unfortunately, everyone here in the room, because we are carpenters, so we either you're barefooted, or you have your socks on, or you have a slipper on. You know. But I know you come to church, definitely you wear a shoe. And not wearing a Japanese cloak. You know. Chakya. Wooden clock. Or slippers. We want to go to church like we are serious with God. There's so many times when you're invited to go and see the president of Singapore in the Eastern Nagara, I don't think you're going to wear a cargo pant. Right? You're going to wear something proper to go and see him. Because he's an important man, at least you have some self-respect for yourself. But many people go to church, and I have people who told me, what if the people are poor? I said, that's when they are poor. Are you poor in Singapore? I have people talk like that here in Singapore. That they think they are in India or the Philippines, up there in the village. Or in Africa. At least in Africa, those people that came, at least the best hand, even though their shirt have holes. Brother Abraham have a coat that has a hole. And you know what? He dressed nicely, he cleaned it up, put his Bible on the hole, and, you know, so nobody sees that hole. Not because they're married, but you know, at least you look proper. Dress properly and go to church and worship God. You know, sometimes, our father knows. Yeah, I know our father knows, but I don't think you know about yourself. You see? So our attitude is very important in our relationship to God. Alright, so now, point number four. We come to the word chosen. Point four, chosen. Okay, let's go to the book of Joshua. 24, verse 15. Joshua 24:15. And I think that we all know this verse very well. Not the entire verse, but a phrase of it. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, all the gods of the Amorites in which land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So now, Joshua had a problem with all these Israelite people, his people. Rebellious, argumentative. So he told them, who will you choose? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Huh? You want to serve the God of your forefather over the Euphrates River where you came from? Or you want to serve the God of the Amorites in this land where you are now? You want to follow the God of this Amorite? Or you want to follow the God of Mesopotamia up where your forefather came from? Huh? And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Chose you this day whom you will serve. Now it seems that we are to have a choice. But where did the choice come in? Did you choose God? Did you choose God? You said, yeah, I choose God. I choose Jesus as my Savior. Yeah, you say that because you have the gospel presented to you. But before the gospel was presented to you, were you looking for God? Were you saying, Lord Jesus, where are you? I'm choosing you. Because you never even heard the name Jesus anyway. There was a song, there's a song that says, tell me his name again. I don't know how the song goes, but it's kind of hard to sing, but you know, it's like poetry. The woman heard the gospel for the first time and heard the name Jesus. And so when the evangelist went his way, he went after the evangelist and said, please, please tell me his name again. Tell me his name again. That's how when I was young, my mom talked to me about Jesus, you know, the name, just the name, Jesus. There's something about that name. Isn't it there, right? There is a song that goes, there is something about that name. You know. So until you are presented, you cannot say you have a choice. But Israel knew the law. They knew Yahweh. But they rebelled. Time and time again, you know, said, no, you make the choice. You want to serve God, then you serve God. If you don't want to serve God, you serve the God of Amorite, go ahead. Or the God of your forefathers, go ahead. Yes. Today we're still making choice. Are you serving the God of Abraham? Yeah. I don't believe any idol anyway. No, I'm not saying that. What else is your idol? Your career? Your money? Your car? Your house? What is your idol? What is your God? A lot of people, the God is their, you know, well, in America they call it greenback. In Singapore we have the colored one, all different colors, even the plastic one. You know, our dollar. Yeah? That's the God. Ching, 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 ching. You know, like all that teller, all that sound that comes, all the money sound. What is your God? Your career? Your house? Your wife? Your family until you forget about God. You see. So, John chapter 5, 50, verse 16. John chapter 50, verse 16. God said, Brother Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So when we read the Bible here, in the book of Joshua, choose you this day, so you seem to be choosing. Huh? And yet you say, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. See? Better read some. And ordain you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Now, here again we talk about, remember our points before that election has a purpose. So, I have chosen you, ordain you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. When God chose you, there is a purpose. You'll be diligent to make your calling and election sure. So, to do that, you must bring forth fruit. And your fruit should remain. Yeah. So, there are a lot of, there are Christians that are not behaving like Christians. And I tell you, that is really terrible. Huh? Christians that don't behave like Christians. Even as John said, choose him this day whom you shall serve. What are we serving? Especially those people in the end time message. Who are they serving? Are they serving the prophet of their God or the God of their prophet. Do they serve God by looking at His Word and understand His Word, the absolute, or is it all about the codes? You know. So a lot of people are misplaced. And so why? Because even as God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And that is true. Alright. But that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, He may give it to you. Acts chapter 22 verse 14. Acts 22 verse 14. And He said, the God of our fathers have chosen you that you should know His will and see that just one and should hear the voice of His mouth. Now, that's the word of God. Acts 22 verse 14. Remember, election has a purpose. The God of our Father have chosen you that you should know, number one, His will. Some people say, yeah, I should do this guy, my personal self, I'm so happy. My sins are forgiven. They don't even know what God's will for them. And then number two, and see that just one. How many people really see Jesus? How many of you already have seen Jesus? Come on, let me see your hand. Come on. You have not seen Jesus, brother. When I say see Jesus, I don't mean see with your eyes. See Jesus means to understand Him and see Him in the way that He revealed Himself in the Word. There are a lot of people who have been a Christian for 20 years and never really know who Jesus is because they never saw Him. They say, I believe Him, but they never saw Him. I'm not talking about the physical. The Paul said the Bible is like a mirror. Right? Isn't it? When we look into the mirror, we see ourselves reflection. Our reflection. But when we look into the Bible, we all want to see the reflection of Christ in it. Referring back to us. Beholding His face, as the Bible says. You see? And that's, you know why people who don't know the Word of God, they can't really understand much about what who Christ is, you know. They will have the guess this, the guess that. And as I said this, many people in the entire message, they can know where Brother Bram was born, what he eat, where he went hunting, all this. When we ask them, where was Jesus born? Jerusalem. Where was Jesus born? Jerusalem. Is it Jerusalem? If anyone you say Jerusalem, man, you're going to kick you out. Jesus was born where? In Bethlehem. Not Jerusalem. But people don't know. Where did Jesus live? Where did He live? Jerusalem. Everything Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Where was Jesus live? Where did Jesus live? How many of you know? Come on. Nazareth. He was raised up in Nazareth. He often went over to Capernaum. The region where He preached, what did He normally preach? What is His region? Galilee. Huh? You know, a lot of people don't know that, but they know about Brother Bram. He's from Kentucky. You know, what did He go shooting? Where was the mountain? Sabino Canyon. He goes wrong. That's why He had a picture there and blah, blah, blah and all that. They know so much about Brother Bram, huh? But you know, I hardly know about even Paul, huh? You know what I mean? Gideon, where they fought, Joshua, where they fought, which valley? No, they don't. But that's okay, you don't know about the prophet. But don't forget about the prophet of prophets. If you don't know why he is or who he is, oh my. You see? And should hear the voice of his mouth. One, know his will. Two, see him. Three, should know the voice that proceeds from his mouth. Man shall not leave my brother alone, but by every word that proceeds from his mouth. Right? Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According, Ephesians 1, 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Huh? We should be holy without blame before him in love. That's right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. You see, He has chosen you to salvation. But they don't stop there. Don't stop there. Okay? Secondly, Thessalonians 2:13. It says what? Chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Yeah, I really pity when people talk about predestination as if everything is okay. I'm predestinated, sure bound for heaven. Don't worry. You know, they talk like it is a free ride all the way, and they do whatever they want to. And yet the Bible tells us to hold fast to salvation. And we know one thing for sure, even as the Bible tells you that which you have heard. If you don't hold fast to that, Satan will take it away from you. You see? How simple. Look at Judas Iscariot, the same. He was with Christ, a sin miracle. He had even the power to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast up demons himself. When Christ sent him out to Pilate. And yet what happened after that? He turned around. My. You see. 1 Peter 1:2. 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. You see that? Through sanctification, unto obedience. Now see the word here, obedience is included. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, that we truly are repentant and we have the blood of Jesus sprinkled upon us. 1 Peter 2:9. Now here we see the importance of what the apostle start giving to those who are, when he write letters to those who are very close and those who are very elect. Okay? You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. You are chosen. Even in this generation, every one of us here, we are a chosen generation, right? And we are a royal priesthood. You see that? You know that you are a priest. Huh? What do you mean by a priest? You minister to the Lord. You pray to Him, you talk to Him. You minister to the Lord. That's what makes you a priest. You are a holy nation. We are a nation of people, huh? I'm not talking about Singaporean. A nation, a holy nation of people, a heavenly nation of people. A peculiar people, huh? Peculiar, you see that? Peculiar, not that because you speak in tongue or walk silly. A peculiar people because we were chosen. People who are outposts. People say, ah, you're a Christian, your holy road must be so holy, one man. And how people talk. Yeah, we go to church, worship. Yeah, we do that not because it's a ritual. We do that because we love the Lord. We want to go to the house of the Lord, as King David said. We are not compelled and forced by God to go. No. We don't. Because it's a design of our heart. Let us go to the house of the Lord. If we don't go, God is going to beat us. Real hard. No, it's not that. God doesn't force you to go to church. The Bible says where your heart is, huh?
Yeah.
He said, well, what is your heart? Are your heart, is your heart with God or not at all? A peculiar people that you should show for. Now, you should show for the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. So we are different people altogether. Okay, point number five, predestination. Now, we come to predestination. You know, election is to pick elect. Predestination is to put you into something. So, election is election. I have chosen you. For what? How? As a purpose. To predestine me to something. That I should be something, something, and something. For me to do certain things. That's a purpose. So, election is one thing. Predestination is another thing. Okay, predestination. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. According have you chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children. Okay? Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose. You see, election brings us to predestination to a purpose. Who work all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trust in Christ, for we are His workmanship. Again, remember this, I love this verse very much. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. He's shaping us, teaching us to walk in the light. Okay? Because why? He wants to make us to the praise of His own glory. Huh? Okay, now. Point number 6. The purpose in calling for knowledge, predestination. We look at this calling for knowledge and predestination. The purpose of it. Romans 8:28. Are we still all hanging on around election predestination issue? Just to show the difference, just to see how we look at it. Romans 8:28. 29 and 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the call according to His purpose. Now you are the one who are the call. He called you, you are so that you are the call according to His purpose. Okay? When He called you, He has a purpose. I mean, for example, you have a dog. Alright? And we have a garden, and his dog is in the garden. So, you want to go for a walk? I said, boy, come. What do I think? I go to take him for a walk. So, I must have a purpose, right? So, the guy will be wagging his tail, and you know, I'm bringing the leash, and ask me to put it on him, and we go out. So, when you have a call, when someone calls you, he must have a purpose. And when you ever call me on the phone, he said, hello, brother. I said, yes, hello. Oh, sorry. Put down. Oh, what is that? There's no purpose. You're calling to be a nuisance. When you call, he said you must be inquiring for something or ask for something. So when he called you, there is a purpose according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow. Now when he called you, he already knows you. Okay? He also did predestinate. If he foreknow you for a purpose, he must do something now. He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, this is where every time we talk about predestination, oh, praise the Lord, I'm predestinated from the beginning of the foundation of the world. You know? I'm predestinated. And he's talking about predestination. I said, how come did the person come to accept the gospel? Or come to accept the message? Oh, because he's predestinated. That's why he can see. That's all that we know. Predestination is not because you can see or you cannot see. Predestination has one purpose, and that is written right here. That you be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what predestination is. Because in Ephesians 1:5 that we read earlier on, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. So you come to the Father. Jesus said what? No man come unto the Father but by me. That's what Paul said. Predestined unto us unto the adoption of Jesus Christ to God by Jesus. Before you can come to Him, become the children of God, you come to Christ. So therefore you need to be conformed to the image of God's Son. So what are we? I'm a Christian. But do I get myself conformed to the image of Christ? Oh yeah, because I'm a Christian, don't I look like Christ? And then you go and misbehave yourself, don't know, like what? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So how is it so? You know. So there's something very wrong. If we don't understand the predestination is to, so that we can conform to the image of His Son, so that we present ourselves to the Father as children. Okay? Verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, sure, when He predestined us, to become, so that we might conform the image of the Son, if God has foreknown us and predestined us, therefore He said, then He also calls. So okay, first of all, He called, He know, then He predestinate. So He predestined, therefore He said He must have called. And if He have called, He must be also justified. And when He justified, He must be glorified. Oh, the whole purpose of God is present is that you might be like Jesus Christ, His Son. That's why Christ is the preeminent. He set the example. Huh? Okay. Number 7 point. Manifestation now. We talk about manifestation. Romans 8. Chapter 8, verse 14 to 23. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, this verse I have heard, people just twist it around. I remember you heard me say this many times. The Bible said this, don't read it the other way around. The Bible said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Don't read it, for those that are the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. Or they will be led by the Spirit. That's not the other way around. If you are led by the Spirit of God, then you are truly His Son. And don't say, because I'm the Son, God will lead me. Or no. Lord, can I go there? Then you think, well, okay, then you go. But God doesn't like, God didn't lead you there. You know where the Bible talks about, the song says, we should not go to the places where angels fear to tread? Huh? You see. How many of you have been to a disco? How many of you have entered into a disco? You have? How does it look like? Yeah. Disco is a place that I don't want to go in. Don't go in there. Now you know. It's just all lot of noise, crazy things going on, and the light and... You know, I don't know about Singapore, but many disco, there are always drugs around. Huh? Isn't that so? Drugs around. And all sooner or later, all the funny things also come around. You know. Here in Singapore, you want to go to a casino, you have to give $100 before you can go in, right? Something like that. Yeah, I remember. Government is trying to keep people away. But if you are in America, you want to go to Las Vegas, you can just go in. Right? But if you have never been, you are curious to see, make sure you tie your hand. And just look around and see what people do. But don't stay too long. Because what your eyes see, the devil make you do it. Oh my God, look at him. He pulled a one-arm bandit and he almost got it. Maybe I should try my luck. So you try your luck and you get hooked. How temptation comes along. This whole thing works like that. Okay? So, for many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then as of God and joint heir with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, if we are led by the Spirit of God, that is, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You see that? Now we're talking about the manifestation now. Because there will come time when God, when we are conformed to the image of His Son, and we are adopted children, we must be manifest. And we are waiting for the manifestation. Okay? For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but the reason of him who was subject to sin in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaned and tribbled in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Now here, Paul is talking to the Romans. Now when he says, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Some people said it's Paul is talking about the apostle. Because we ourselves, Paul is saying that we ourselves, the apostle, we have the first fruit. The first fruit here means the sacrifice, the offering. You see? So it's in the people are talking about this. Let me tell you something. The first fruit of the Spirit. I believe Paul is not talking about the apostle. He includes every believer. Huh? The first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of this body. So we are waiting for the redemption of this body. We are already redeemed, but this body is not yet. You got it? And Paul said, we have the first fruit of the Spirit. We really are the one that have the first fruit of the Spirit. Those that are on the day of Pentecost and forward until now, we all have the first fruit of the Spirit. Why? Not the first fruit in the resurrection. Because the first fruit in the resurrection is God. There are those of the Old Testament saints who have never been born again, but they look forward to the promise of the Messiah. And they resurrected after Jesus resurrected. Remember? But on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of Christ came back, then from that time on, those who received the first fruit of the Spirit, we are the first fruit. So after that, the Spirit of God will go back to Israel. You understand? The first fruit will be gone. So we are waiting for redemption of this body. We are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. See that? Okay. Point number 8. Foundation. How do you build? Okay, I'm elective. I'm pronounced in it. How do you build? Don't take things for granted. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now he's talking about the church, right? The church is built upon the foundation of Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation, this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, hay, stubble. Now that is going down from silver to the worthless one, huh? To a stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now Paul's talking about building now. He's talking about the teachers especially, or those who teach, or those who think they have the opinion and to teach. Those people who think they know things they do not know are sufficient. That's what the problem is. Watch what Paul said now. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, even so as by fire. Okay. Talking about preacher, huh? Okay. But we'll see what a bit more. Know you not that you are a temple of God? Of course, the church is a temple of God. Every one of us is a temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. So if any man defile the temple of God himself, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, here we all can say, look at what Paul said here. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, as a whole, the church is the temple of God. And if the preacher come here and preach all kinds of funny things that is not true, it corrupts the temple of God with false doctrine, he will be judged. He will be destroyed because he is destroying the word of God. And I pity all those preachers out there who think that they know a lot of things they do not know. God will cut short their life if God do not show them mercy. You know? That's true, you know that. But also here, when Paul said this in the last verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We can look at it individually, you as a temple, because in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul said, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you are of God, and you are not your own? So you are also a temple of God, right? Individually. So how do you want to destroy your body too? How do you treat your body? As important as how, you know, when we grow up, we must discipline, you know, our lifestyle. We cannot stress out this body. Overwork, eating a lot of junk food, especially in America, I cannot understand. You can see 1 out of 3 are obese. Huh? Yeah. I remember one time when a brother and his wife from Sri Lanka into Singapore, and the wife came and asked me, whispered to me, I said, Brian, how come all the ladies here in Singapore are very slim? And she's from Sri Lanka. I said, we are all down there, many of us are overweight. But see, the problem what they eat. Huh? If you look at North India and South India, the South Indian the women are slimmer than the one in the North. The one in the North are fairer looking, but many of them are big because of what they eat. The people down south in the poor, what do they eat? Most of them are vegetarian. And what do they eat? Simple food. People have to discipline themselves. Look at our Prime Minister that passed away, Lee Kuan Yew. I mean, he's a rich man because of his occupation. But in order, he eats very simple food. He exercises, he disciplines, very disciplined man. Swim, jog, you know. And he reads and he studies so that he keeps his brain cells, don't let the brain cells die. And we can discipline ourselves. Get up in the morning on Sunday early and get to church early. Not coming to church later. All these are discipline. We can make a routine. If you can make a routine for your work at home as a housewife, what time to get up, what time to make breakfast, when to go to buy, you know, groceries, and so on. And you have routines to go to work, what time you get up and what time to take the bus, or else you miss the office and you go late. And how come we cannot discipline when it comes to spiritual faith? And so we talk about the priority. What is your priority? You know, we are predestinated for a purpose. You see? So don't treat our Christian life just like a little event or part of life things on the side. And put our work in the forefront. You see? So there are a lot of things that we must really remember. But some people say, but Bergen, you know, God doesn't care so much about you, really. God is watching. Because here now we're talking about the foundation, how you build your gate. You see? So how do you build the foundation? Your own Christian life, your own life. How do you build your life? 1 Corinthians 3:18. Read that verse 18. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in the world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. How true that is. Huh. Look at Cain. You want to go Cain's way? You want to go Lamech's way? Huh. When it comes to offering Cain's, he think that he had a revelation. He grew up in the house of Adam and Eve. He saw Adam give the God the offering. Adam taught him. As well as he taught, Adam and Eve taught Abel. He was both the children, both sons, Abel and Cain was raised up in Adam's family, Adam's house, I would say, and they learned from the father what happened. But when it comes time for them to give their offering, Cain did what Abel did what was right. But you know, Cain, maybe you're thinking, you know, the blood is just too much. You know, he deceived himself. He think that I give the best from God for God. I tore him in my hand, you know, and grew the best pumpkin, best watermelon, best dragon fruit, passion fruit, whatever, and brought it to God. God shook me, please. It's my life work. Blood is not necessary. You know, when he brought that to the Lord and put it on the altar, God just looked at the offering, nonplussed. You know what I mean? There are people who you get somebody to do something and he do a job and then you look at it. Show no emotion, nothing. Because you know jolly well what that thing's supposed to be. If I ask you to bring a piece of paper, you bring me a piece of wood. What do you expect me to say? I'll be just warning. Are you dumb? And that's what's Cain. That's his revelation. He said it was okay. And God said, that's not right. I can't accept that. But because he didn't do it right, Cain, if he done it right, I would accept, but it's not. But here, it's a sin offering right here. Take it and offer it. Wow. You know what problem with human beings? People cannot come God's way. They get very upset. The person cannot get God to accept his way, he gets very upset. What are you making me look like? Lord, what are you making me? You don't accept my sacrifice. Now you humiliate me by giving me an offering to give it to you. It's yours. You asked me to give it to you. What is this? You know, it looks like humiliation, huh? So from that time on, what happened to Cain's people? Cain knew the truth. He knew how to worship God in spirit. But he doesn't know how to worship him in truth. So from that time, in less than 300 years, by the time of Enoch's birth, and in Enoch's generation, what happened? Then we came to think that God is a piece of wood or a metal, and called upon Yahweh on the idol. And if you go, in those days, back to Mesopotamia, they have a little idol that you can carry with you. Maybe they build big one, they have a small one as well. They begin to call upon the name of God upon the idols that they worship. You see, people start to degrade themselves. That's what happened to Cain, degrade himself. You want to go Cain's way? Huh? Look at the man! Six in that generation. Lamech. What did he do? He also had a revelation. He's smart. Cain people are smart. Huh? Cain had the revelation about worshipping God, but only half a revelation of the past, but not the blood. Lamech, he's smart. You know, when Adam said, and Eve was taken out from him, and God offered the woman back to Adam, Adam said, thou art bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and join to his wife, and they be one flesh. Only one. One man, one wife. One man, one wife. Let all and God judge Eve. Huh? I will gratify and multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Right? In childbearing, there will be a lot of sorrow. And God said, and the desires of it to the husband. Ha! Lamech's man. Got a revelation here. You know what I'm saying? He realized that he can take another man, another wife. But his wife cannot take another man. Because the woman is subject to the husband. Thy desire shall be to the husband, the husband alone. But he didn't say anything about the man. So now, when Lamech married Ada, he wanted another one. So he took another one. What does Ada say? Ada could not say anything. Right? Ada cannot say, oh, so you take another wife, let me take another man. You can't. Oh, I'll divorce you. You can't. Because you already joined to the man. And those days the law went on like this until men degraded themselves further. And all kinds of things happened. So you see, when we get this serpent seed, they have some understanding somewhere, but they don't have the full revelation. Okay, God had. God is one. But there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know what I'm talking? So now they do not see the full revelation. Baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus said. But they don't see why Peter baptized it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I always think. I sympathize, pity those who think that you can do anything that you like. Like my friend, you know, it doesn't matter which way you baptize, Father, Son, or Holy Ghost, or in the name of Jesus Christ, whether it's my immersion or sprinkling or pouring, really? It's all because of the heart. God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. How come God did not look at the heart of Cain? After all, Cain was sincere. Is that all right? Yes. Even as one man used to say, can be sincere, but can be sincerely wrong. But you are sincerely wrong. Okay, God can understand. Cain, you are sincere, but you are wrong. This is the way you should do it. He refused. You tell those people out there in the churches the way they should be done. They would not accept it. They don't think that they are even wrong to begin with. You see. You know, I come to a place that God, there is no more place for repentance. God is not more, whatever you sow, so shall you also reap. But I'm a child of God, I must go to heaven. I have to go to the rapture. I will go to the rapture because I'm born again. You know what? Sometimes brother man make a statement so strong, you wonder how it hurts people. Maybe wake up some people, but some people don't seem to take it seriously. If you are born again, the Bible said, as brother man was saying, if you are born again, if you are truly born again, if you are the Holy Spirit, you would believe the word. But how come you're not doing it? How come you're not believing it? You see, that's the problem. I am the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible said. They are led by the spirits of God. They are sons of God. If you have the Holy Spirit, He leads you to the word, then you are the child of God. But if He said you have the Holy Spirit and you don't believe the word it should be, then how can you call yourself a child of God? You know, brother and sister, we are living in the end time. We're not living in the days of the Baptists, the Methodists, the Episcopal, the Campbellite. We are living in the final hour. And God has sent us a message to bring us all back to this word. And line up with this word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. And all the word that God said that I sent it out will not return unto Him void. It must bring result to God. Even if it's not all, or 90%, or 50%, or 10%, at least 1%. One of our men said, maybe 1% or 1%. You see about the manifest things, but about this? Number 9. We look at position. precision, point, precision. Here we are, huh? We talk about how you build. Now, there are precision. How many of you believe that in the kingdom of God there are this acron, the hierarchy system? Huh? Because God's government is just pretty much what human beings are concerned with, doing the same. There is always one up there, and then there is always a few up there below him, and then down, down, down. That's why we have the pyramid as a church. Huh? Okay. Hebrews 12:22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the holy Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men make perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, the speaketh better thing than that of Abel. Now, here it is. What is Paul here talking about? Huh? Look at what he said here. One, you come to Mount Zion, one place. Where is Mount Zion? You know where Mount Zion is. Okay. And unto the city of the living God. On top of Mount Zion is a city. So there is a city on the place called Mount Zion. And this city is called the heavenly Jerusalem. And while we are there, there also are gathered together innumerable company of angels. And then we also gather there to the general assembly of people. And then there is also a group called the Church of the Firstborns, or the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And when we gather there, God is the judge of all. He'll be there. And also when we gather there, there are spirit of just men make perfect. And also when we are gathered there, the Jesus, the mediator of new covenant, will be there. And all these are covered by the blood of sprinkling. So, what is that? There are different categories. The angels are there, then there is a general assembly, and then there is a church of the firstborn, and then there is a group called the spirit of just a man, of just men make perfect. What are they talking about? And they are meant to say that when you get to heaven, there are different classes of people. How can I be all different classes of people? They are all family of God. I know they are all family of God. But you are the firstborn, the secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn. You are, is there. We see in the Bible, when Jesus came, how many disciples he got? 12? How can he only choose 3? Why did he only choose 3? Peter, James, and John. You know, if Jesus chose me, if I'm there in those days, and he didn't choose me, have those 3. If I come to know about it, I'll get very upset. But then I need to ask myself why I wasn't chosen. That's why when Peter, James, and John were chosen, and he saw the transfiguration, and Jesus said, don't tell any man about this vision. Keep quiet. You know. Why? So you have 12, you have 3, you have 12. And then what? Jesus has more than that, 120, 500. So there are all different groups. So what about heaven? There's one throne, four beasts around the throne, right? And then 24 elders round about it. And the sea of glass. So you see one thing about it, they are positioned. So, there's a Paul talked about. Make sure you're diligent to make sure your calling and your election sure. Be conformed to the image of his son. Number 10. There is a spirit in man. A spirit in man and the mind of God. So now we'll look at Job chapter 32 and verse 8. Job 32 and verse 8. It said that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty give them understanding. There is a spirit in man. Yes, I know there is a spirit in man because God gave Adam a spirit. The spirit of life. But when sin came, we all are dead in sin. That's why That's why we need, that's why the Holy Spirit, when we are born again, the Holy Spirit quicken us. Quicken our spirit. Make it alive. Now, that's the spirit of man. How does God look at it? Romans 11. Romans chapter 11, 32, 36. For God had concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his way past finding out. For who have known the mind of God? Who have been his counselor? Or who have first given to him and then said that, well, you should return me my reward. For of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So, who have known the mind of God? Who have known the mind of God? No. Let's go to 1 Corinthians now. And go read this verse. Few verses here. So we can couple it together. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But God have revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit search all things, yea, the deep things of God. Who have known the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which thing also we speak not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So don't take my wisdom. Okay, when you hear them, you have to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Okay? But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So those who are carnal men, natural men, they cannot know the things of God. You can tell them, they will just look at you, wonder what you're talking about. That's why sometimes the Bible tells us not to cast pearls before swine. Verse 15. For he that is spiritual judge all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That means spiritual man we judge about the things of God, the natural man cannot judge us because we don't understand the first place. Okay? So there's no point to parley with them. For who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So now we have the mind of Christ. Okay, we have the mind of Christ. So the Bible tells us, who have known the mind of God? Nobody. Nobody. And the things of a man, only the man knows. And the things of God, only God knows. But now Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. So if we have the mind of Christ, we should be able to understand things that God or Jesus Christ want us to do. How that we should understand those things. So now, when we talk about this spirit, when God, from the very beginning, having created things, a plan, I mean, comes up with an entire plan, before he even began to bring it out, he looked into the future from the beginning. He knows everything. So now, you are here this morning because God chose you. How many of you believe God chose you? Yes? You believe God chose you? And give you eternal life? Yes. So if God chose you, what is it? What is there in you that God chose you? Is it because there is something good in you? Or is it because there is something bad in you that God had to prove his point, that he had the power to turn you around? Huh? You see, that's what we have from. When we say, God, look, the future can see. Esau have I had, Jacob have I loved. Yes, God knew. The man that Esau was, the man that Jacob was. But not because of what Esau did that God says, I won't pick you. No. Whether it's good, as Bible says, whether it's good or bad, it is not based on that. Look at Saul, before he was Paul. He was religious. He went out there and go and search out for the Christian, right? Now, why did God stop him on the road to Damascus? Why? What if God did not stop him? What would happen? He will continue killing. Now, right? What is it true? So, what was God doing? God looked into the future. He said, oh my, this saw, he's going to kill everybody right now. I hate him. And if God did that, what happened to Saul? There will be no Paul today. But if God says, I will have mercy upon him, I will be gracious to him, and I will make him a vessel, let him suffer for my name's sake. God's plan, God's purpose, he had nothing to do with it. You understand? Isn't it? Oh, look at Hitler. Hitler. Oh, when he was a baby, blue-eyed a boy, I don't know where he's blue-eyed. But anyway, he's not going to kill chubby little fella. Right. Grow up, you know. But God saw from the beginning that he's going to be a bad guy. Real bad. What if God chose him to stop him? Why not? There's a people warning today, why God did not stop the war? Even today, why did God stop the war? So there will be no death. Hey, my brother and sister, your thoughts are not as high as heaven. As heaven is higher than the earth, God's thought is higher than you and me. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. It's nothing to do with you. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. I'm the potter. You are the clay. Right? Well, there's a whole lot of good people out there, you know. Why didn't God choose them? The problem is the good people are too good. Sometimes I wonder, maybe they are too good not to be chosen. For all we know, God did not choose the good and then put away the bad. Neither did he choose the bad and put away the good. It is just his choosing. What is God looking at in the mind of a person? What is God looking at in the spirit of the man or the woman? There is a spirit in man and God knows that spirit. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? As the song with King David says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart today. Search me. But only I'm glad I'm chosen. Not because there was anything good in me. And I suppose I'm the chief of the sinners. Right? The chief of the sinners. You know why he was called? Why he called himself a chief of sinners? He was so religious, he think that he was so holy. And he went around killing people. And he think, well, he was okay. God will be pleased. What a sinner. Using religion. Like today, many people are doing that. That's a terrible thing to do. Self-righteousness. You see that? We go conclude quickly. Point number 11. The book of life. Okay, now we go to the book of Revelation chapter 20 verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small, great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged up of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, you have the lake of fire here. The second death is waiting for everyone that stands at the great white throne judgment. Those who stood before the bema seat of Christ has no death. Second death cannot take anything. That's what the Bible says. Blessed are those who have, you know, their faith in the resurrection, the first resurrection, who have their place in the first resurrection. The second death have no power. But in this white throne judgment, death has the power to take. If your name is not in the book of life, whosoever whose name is not in the book of life, what is this book of life? We have all kinds of versions about the book of life. There are two books. One is the Lamb's Book of Life, and the other one is called the Book of Life. The Book of Life is just a term to say life. Who is the life? The life is none other than the Tree of Life. Christ Himself, He is the epistle to the right of all men. Everything is going back to Him. No man has come unto the Father but by me. I am the Book of Life. Eat of me! He break the bread. Remember, take it. So He is that book. And if your name is not in Him, there's no life. So who are these people at the Great White Throne Judgment? Who are these people at the Great White Throne Judgment? Okay, let us, before we go, we read another passage of scripture and we'll close together all with it. Romans chapter 2, verse 12. Romans chapter 2. This is point number 12. Conscience, law, and gospel. The conscience, the law, and the gospel. Here Romans chapter 2, verse 12 onward says, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which shows the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing them. Okay. Now here we have Bible truth. You don't have the law of the Hebrew, you cannot be judged by the law of the Hebrew. If you don't have not heard the gospel, you cannot be judged by the gospel. If you, then how are you judged? But then you are a law to yourself. You have the conscience. What is right, what is wrong, right? How to behave, how not to behave. That is given to all men. So, as the Bible declares, everyone sinners. There's no excuse. Huh? Your conscience will judge you already of the many things that you have done that is not right. Is that right? But who are those people whose name is found in the book of life that stand at the great white throne judgment? Here is why the election, part of the election comes in. There are, as I said before earlier on, the position in the heavenly places. There are the spirit of just men made perfect. Huh? Now, question asked, how is it, brother, again, that if there are people who have not heard the gospel and are elected to eternal life, then what is the purpose of us preaching the gospel? As Paul said, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to the world. Right? Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of people laugh at us Christians for preaching the gospel. You see, God do things that doesn't sometimes make sense to people. But God has a reason why He do it. Now, people say, if they are elected to eternal life, and they are not having to hear the gospel, then why preach the gospel? Good question. But that is from our human side of view. Want to know why? Let's look at this. When God created the heavens and the earth and all the things that happened after the fall, why did He pick a man called Abraham? Of all the millions of people out there in Mesopotamia, out there in Canaan land, out there in the Middle East, why did He pick this man? Could He not pick other men? Yes. But He picked Abraham. Because why? God is working a work in his life and which came down in your life. We are His workmanship. So that's the way He worked. That's the porter. How He wants to do His work. So if he picked Abraham, there must be a purpose to pick Abraham so that he can, from his seed line, bring forth the Messiah. Right? All the others around this man are secondary. God is focusing on this man. But God already knew all those people. So, from Abraham came down, we have Jesus Christ. So now the gospel is preached. So while Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel, and after he died, then we have the apostle went out to preach, right? What year was it? Huh? After 30 AD, right? 33 AD. Okay, they were preaching. While they were preaching out there in the Middle East, in Israel, there were Chinese people out there in China. There were people out there in India, in Africa, Siberia, Mongolia, in Europe. Viking land. Out there. Is that right? Is God not aware of them? Was God not aware of them? God was aware of them. But God's plan was to deal with these people of Israel, get a gospel. And that's why we talk about election. God has a purpose in using Christ, that those who know the gospel be conformed to that image. But there are those who live in outside the scope of Bible land. God has a plan for them. You know, and so Abraham asked a question, do babies go to heaven when they die? And what did Abraham say? He said, if they are predestinated. He said, if they are elected. Is that right? But the baby doesn't know the gospel. He never grew up to know the gospel. But the one thing God has done, what is it? The shedding of blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Because blood had been shed. And the Bible says God doesn't want people to perish, but then they might come to eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Is that right? Now, here we have the eunuch. He was reading the book of Isaiah. And God sent Philip to talk to him. That's God's plan. Is that right? Sure. And he became a believer. Bring back the gospel there to his country. God wanted it to be so. God has his own way. God is not in a hurry. God has a lot of time. Then here we have Cornelius, a Gentile. Was he a Hebrew to understand the God of Jehovah, the God of Israel, the Yahweh? No, he knew nothing about Yahweh. But he saw the worship. He had a revelation. Don't you speak that there's something about this God. Well, God must have touched his heart. And God then sent him the gospel. Right? But there are people like Cornelius, people like eunuch. They are scattered throughout the whole world at that time, outside Bible land. And God showed mercy to them and showed grace to them. So that's why election will stand. Do you understand? There are people out there that have not heard the gospel. How does God judge them? God is a righteous judge. Without the law, will not be judged by the law. Without the gospel, will not be judged by the gospel. But you are judged by conscience. And yet, there is election. Election will stand. Do you know how many millions of people died in the Holocaust? How many hundreds and thousands of little babies died in the Holocaust? What about the Second World War? What about the First World War? What about those wars during the time when Hitler came and out there in Russia? Huh? Babies just died and still breathing. Not even not dead yet. They are breathing. Because of the war and all this, they are suddenly wounded. And you go look at that documentary. And they pick up the little fella, 2-3 years old. And they took him and threw him into the ditch and buried them all. So what? You telling me that God treat all this as garbage? God knows what will happen to this world. He picked, He chose, He called, He elect. But He had a plan in a certain area to let the gospel come forth. They are just men made perfect. They are made perfect by the blood of sprinkling. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And they have their place. But there is a people who's called the bride. A special, the firstborn. The first fruit of His Spirit. What did God blind Israel? What did God blind Israel? Because of you. Because of me. Huh? Did we ask for it? Did they ask for it? No. Everything is God's will. Everything is God's power. How He wants to bring it about. So you understand that? As Bible said altogether, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will be merciful to him. I will show mercy to him to whom I will show mercy. Amen. While we are here as believers, we are a special people. We are called for a special position. And therefore, let us be diligent to find our place in His kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for truth, Lord, today. Subject, Father, many times we wonder as to the countless millions of people, Lord, throughout generation of time. Those that died in the First World War, Second World War, in fact, in many, many civil unrest in countries. People who know not the gospel of Jesus Christ. People who never have heard the name Jesus. Out there in the American continent, Lord, the Red Indians were there years before Jesus Christ came about. And even after, Lord, the natives up there, what were they worshipping? What were you doing with them? Father, what about those in China, Siberia, Africa? Surely, Father, you will be gracious to whom you will be gracious and be merciful to whom though you will be merciful. And that you have chosen those who choose. We have not chosen you. No one has really chosen you. But because of your choice, Father, you bring all things to work together for them, for good to them that love you. And we are thankful for you, Father Lord, for this. That there are people like Colinius. He loved you. He loved the truth. And you show him grace to bring him the gospel in that land. But there are certainly lots of people like him in other places, looking towards the heaven, worshipping the only one true creator, but not knowing his name. What are you looking at, Father, in the spirit of man? We know, Father, Lord, you will always be who you are, the I am that I am, the one that is gracious, the one that is full of mercy. And you bring all things together in Christ Jesus, both in heaven above and earth beneath, Father. And all things, O Lord, were created by him, and to him will be reconciled back to you, according to your plan and your purpose. So, Father, we commend all things to you. Today we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.